Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 5, Episode 7, the penultimate episode, and Canada's Drag Race Episode 3. So excited to get into all of this. We are almost there. All-Stars 5 is nearly done. And to talk about everything from these two episodes of Drag Race is, of course, our very own Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you doing?
I'm in the final four. Let's see if I can make it to the final three.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you don't bomb as hard as Blair St. Clair, I think you stand a chance.
I probably, you know, this probably would be the thing that I would bomb on, because I'm just no good at stand-up comedy. So I was sympathizing with Blair here.
Mm-hmm. Just if you have a notebook, just watch out. Well, yeah.
Oh God.
We also have a woman here, Beth Dixon. How are you doing?
I'm doing.
Oh my God.
Good.
I am having secondhand embarrassment all over again. Who put the punchline on the second page? So you do this. Sorry, I like can't even. All right, we'll get into all of this. I have to introduce our wonderful guest who is here with us today, Sosa. Sosa, how are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you guys? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Maybe you can give a little bit of background on who are you? What brought you to Drag Race, and what are you excited to talk about today?
Okay, well, I'm spelled by Sosa. I go by online, and you may or may not remember me in the first sequester influencer mini that I played with Aman, which was a blast as he stream rolled through that. And then I played again recently in the All-Stars where I did make it to jury. I made it to final five. And so that was awesome before I got Britney'd, which I'm still learning what exactly that stands for, but I've got the gist of it.
you got firsthand knowledge of it now.
Yep. And what brought me to Drag Race, I've heard it for seasons on. And most reality TV shows, I feel like I jumped in the boat quite late to the game. Like Big Brother, I think I started watching it 4 or 3 years ago, which is quite late to the game. And much like Drag Race, I started watching it, I want to say last year. But so anyways, my friend came over, we watched one episode together. She left and I started binging, and I watched all 10 seasons on Netflix. I'm subscribed to Jake Yonsei TV, so I know all the tea usually. And here we are at All Stars 5. So I want to just say I fell in love with the community and like what RuPaul kind of like, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? I just love the stories and their passion and everything they're overcoming each and every episode.
Well, thank you, Sosa. We're really excited for you to be here and to also provide some Canadian insight when we talk about Canada's Drag Race. We've been flying a little bit blind, so we need your expertise and your help too, especially to talk about everything Canada.
Awesome.
All right. Well, let's get into All Stars 5. Aman. What did you okay. Sorry, I'm still having the Blair St. Clair flashbacks, Beth. Like, can you please not do this to me? Aman.
My apologies.
What are your overall thoughts on the challenge? Like, how do you think this comedy shakedown went?
Well, it happened. It happened to some of them. And I mean, I'm a big fan of stand-up comedy. I will often traverse the stand-up comedy terrain here in Philadelphia. I've never actually been on stage before because, like I said, I'm just no good at it. But I'm a big fan of people that can just write jokes, come up with jokes from the spot, and just, you know, command a crowd and tell a story and have us engaged. And I'm always a big fan of these challenges. I think that for the most part, it was good. And even in Blair's ultimate failure, there was still a lot of comedy to be gained from the situation. We're kind of laughing at her and not with her, but you know, as an audience member, I guess one is kind of the same for me. So I'm a big fan of the comedy challenges. I mean, they all get fair ample time. They get time to do it. They got to work with Jane Krakowski. Like, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I had a lot of fun this episode. It did, you know, the 1 hour and a half actual, like, on the TV sort of felt long. It felt like it was stretching, you know, even with Untucked, it was like we're getting flashbacks to even before the deliberations because there's just not mm-hmm. enough content. So, you know, that was the only thing that really I was maybe a little bit bored by, that and the lip sync. But overall, Beth, I thought it was fun. I always liked the comedy challenges, and especially the fact that Cracker just went ahead and set everything up of like, oh yeah, I'm playing the game. I thought that was a really fun added element to the whole episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank mm-hmm. you. First of all, thank you, Cracker, for owning that you are going to be playing the game, explaining your reasoning, not just in the confessional, but to the girls' faces, letting them have it, getting in their heads. Thank you for playing the game. This is what we want to see in All Stars. If y'all got to have to vote each other out, let's play the game. And that's exactly what she did. I was a big fan of Cracker for this episode for doing that exactly. I also really, really thought, I always think with these stand-up challenges, this really separates who is comedic and can improvise. Because even if you have things written down and it's not working, we've seen queens that have go, okay, y'all didn't laugh at that, and like make it funny some other way. And All Stars, you know, this really separates who's got it, who doesn't. Just like a dancing challenge might, or something where there's all these other specific sets of skills. So I was excited to see them. Final four, I think we've all laughed at Jujubee. Some of us have laughed at Blair before. And like we've laughed at Jay and Cracker. So it was really fun to see them be put on the spot and say, give us the jokes.
Yeah, Sissa, what did you think about this overall episode? Did it tickle your funny bone?
I'm really like, Miss Cracker really blew me away. In her initial season, I wasn't really a fan of Miss Cracker, so I kind of rolled my eyes when I saw that she was going to be on the season, but she's grown on me, and I'm happy that the judges actually applauded for her, because, like, they're pretty hard on her. Every single week, it's, Cracker, you're overthinking. Like, let the girl think if she wants to think. Like, I don't know what that constant theme is surrounding her, but I think it was a well-deserved win this episode. Also, like Beth said, I love that she stated, I'm playing the game. Let's challenge you guys. That was awesome to see. And the girls really took it. They took it gracefully, though. They weren't like, they didn't hold a vendetta and like stir drama over it. So it made for a really good episode.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. As soon as Cracker started going in of like, look, I'm straight up saying I want to throw you guys under the bus. Like, Juju, you're so good. I'm putting you in what I believe to be the toughest position. I just thought of Amon, because not only does he love Cracker, but also loves playing that, like, people who play the game. I'm sure this was right up your alley.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and the girls really had no right to be mad anyway, because I mean, there's only four of them left to begin with. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Jujubee going first, sure, you can see that the opener is really, really tough. But if this were a competition of, let's say, eight queens that were left that were doing this, then I would, like, you could put more weight on the fact that somebody is going first. But this, they were all so short, they kind of all blend together. But still, I like the fact that she was like, look, it is what it is at this point. It's top four. We all made it. We're all good. I want to win. You want to win. You want to win. You want to win. I want to win. So somebody's got to lose. So I'm going to do my best to make sure that that can happen. I have to stack the odds in my favor, and putting a comedy queen first, that's the way to do it.
So. Yeah.
How many times have we seen the person who's choosing the order of the comedy show go, and I'm going to close it, and then they like suck? We're yeah. like, good on you, Cracker, for being like, I'm not going to go last. I'm going to go next to last. And it'll be great. Yeah, no, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I love the fact that she essentially breaking the fourth wall is the word I'm thinking of, but I know that that's not right, because every single season it feels like the queen is like, oh no, I'm just like making the decision. Like, I just want to be fair, blah, 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 whatever. She's like, no. One, I am doing this with a strategy. And not only that, I'm going to tell you exactly why, in detail, epic detail of why, like the whole thing of like, well, Blair, you've been funny this season, so I want you to have to follow Jujubee, because Jujubee is going to be funny. So, and then I want to follow you because I hope you're going to be shaken. Like, the level of detail that she put into it was just absolutely fantastic.
And then saying, hey, Shay, I know that you're like our toughest competitor, so I want you to have to follow me, the comedy queen, like, and close out the show. Like, she legitimately brought all the correct reasoning to it. Mm-hmm. And I think she just played it absolutely smart. I was so thrilled for it.
Well, she's a thinker, right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah, that's when the overthinking actually works in her benefit, which I think it absolutely did here as well. Well, let's just go ahead and get into the performances. There's not a whole lot else in this episode. But first of all, So-So, what did you think of Jane Krakowski coming in as our sort of guest judge slash advice person?
Well, to be honest, I'm not too familiar with who she is prior to the show. I know.
It's fine either way.
It'd be like that some weeks of RuPaul Drag Race, but I will say that her critique was awesome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were obviously really excited to see her and took what she took to heart. And she was a good celebrity host judge. I like when they come and they have feedback to give.
What is she on again? Because I am familiar with her work in a couple of films that I've seen her in, and I'm familiar with her from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. But what's like the main show that she's on?
30 Rock was sort of.
30 Rock, yeah. See, I never watched 30 Rock.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
You should.
So name drop some other things that she was on. Maybe it'll jog something.
She's also a big Broadway performer. So I think she'd been in Damn Yankees, a few other big like revivals of shows and such. So I know that she's, so she can sing, dance, give you comedy.
I know her face and I've seen her in some things that I'd never like followed her career, but she was great.
Juice commercial, like one of the light orange juices, you know.
Okay.
I noticed that.
I'll have to go back and check the catalog.
And even at the judging, when she was sick, she was still better than probably some of the other judges, the guest judges that we've seen so far.
Definitely. I think she was the best judge right on the panel this week.
Like
out of everyone, she was funnier than everybody else. She was, and you could tell that those were her own quips, not something that somebody had written for her to deliver. Like, she's just naturally funny. And I also think that she has a really good sense of timing. She has a really good sense of how to, we're going to break it down. She's a Broadway performer. She's used to getting notes, right, from your stage manager, from whoever on a nightly basis. So I think that all the experience of her getting notes from directors and such really translated well for her to be able to tell the queens, hey, I liked this, didn't like that, but in a constructive way or in a funny way or in a way that like made them feel like they were relating to her rather than just being like almost starstruck and, okay, Jane Krasowski is like bringing this down to me and I have to like take it. No, she like lowered herself almost to their level and delivered it. And that's just such a talent to be able to do that.
And she wanted them all to win. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, when Whoopi Goldberg was the guest judge, like she offered everybody a lot of like personalized critique, right? Like to every queen, she had something different to say. She's a person of her craft. She knows what she's talking about and she knows what kind of regular pitfalls these queens could potentially fall into and what, you know, how to play to their strengths. So I thought that it was great. Awesome choice.
Go ahead, Sosa.
Pardon me. I was going to say she also took the roast well. And she didn't seem like salty when giving her critiques.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and she was just really fun and clearly a super fan. Like when she talked about the fact that she follows Blair St. Clair on Instagram, I was like, oh, okay. So like you are really familiar with the show. I thought Sam Richardson, so the other judge who was there, so I knew him from Veep, the TV show Veep. He's also really funny. So to me, like this was a really great panel for my own personal preferences. And like, I just love to see it.
I would have loved to have seen him. I guess you don't want it to get too crowded, but I would have loved to have seen him at the challenge because I feel like he was kind of tacked on at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I felt a little out of place. Like when sometimes we see somebody come in, like it's usually like Whoopi was only Whoopi, right? Like no one else. But like who are you going to put with Whoopi? It would just be completely honestly. Without it. All right, well, let's go through and start talking about all of these performances. So we're going to kick things off with Jujubee. Sosa, what did you think about Jujubee's performance and her whole stand-up routine?
This was the episode where I kind of understood, okay, this is why Jujubee's here. I know she kind of faded to the background for me personally. Like, I didn't have my eyes on her, but now that we've whittled down, she did great as number one. Her jokes were consistent from the get-go when she started. So I was really impressed with Jujubee.
Beth, what did you think?
I was a little shaky on her at first. I thought that you could tell that she was giving the energy, but like maybe didn't have the confidence yet. And then once she started settling in and kind of honing down on what the judges basically said on Ross, I laughed more at some of her jokes, especially the one about Gwyneth Paltrow writing the intro to his book. And, you know, if she can convince people to put jade eggs up their vaginas, but she can't convince them to buy his book. Like, I mean, excellent. Clearly, if I were on the stand up and trying to do that joke, would have fallen flat. But she has a really great way of presenting a joke and with her personality. And I had a great time about midway to the end of her set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman, what did you think about Juju?
I mean, yeah, she just has that. It started off a little bit rocky, but she sort of has that ability to throw a couple digs and a couple daggers. But you can tell that she's like, I'm kidding, guys. Like, don't take it too seriously. Like, she gets that whole energy about her when she speaks. So you just want to laugh because she's like, bitch, laugh. Like, it's like, okay, fine. Like, so I'm like, I'm a fan of Juju B, and we've all known that she's funny. I got to meet her in person, and she made me laugh the entire time. She only had to say one word around me, and I laughed at it. She walked because she came to a drag show at Drexel, and we all knew that she loved fried chicken because she talked about it during her season all the time. And so, like, for her little dressing room, we got her, like, this big-ass platter of fried chicken. Oh. And she hadn't said a word the entire time, and I happened to be in the room when she said it, and she just walked up to that platter, and she said, fried chicken.
Yeah, she's so hilarious.
That energy just kind of comes through the entire time. So I was a fan.
I was a little nervous for her just because her skill set really is in that more impromptu. I think Shea Coulee describes it as sort of like dialogue humor where you're just kind of having a casual back and forth. You're not really having to set up jokes and follow the set up punchline kind of formula. And I think that she was a little nervous. She had the notebook, but once she got into the rhythm of it, then it was really enjoyable. I mean, I think probably it would still be third out of four for me if I'm gonna have to rank these performances, but I still love her. She's been so consistently amazing, and we're gonna do some when we talk about our final three, like head, heart, gut, like who we think is gonna win. And so I'm excited to talk about this because I do have some strong feelings about Juju, even though here, like, I think she was probably the third strongest performer.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Agreed. The next queen, which this was so interesting with the editing, where Blair St. Clair is set up to just look like she's going to do amazing, Aman. And then we have something that was so incredibly cringy and embarrassing. Like, I feel so bad for her.
Yeah, what the hell is going on here with this? Like, okay, they always do this editing thing where they make it seem like, oh, this queen might actually have a chance. Like, don't count her out. But it's one thing to edit it that way, and it's another. It's like Blair was watching the show with us because she walks back into the workroom and she's like, oh, yeah, Miss Crack, you better watch out because, like, they were laughing and everything. They were cackling, honey. And I'm like, were they really cackling at everything? Because that's all we saw. I was just, they were cackling at some of the things, and the rest of the edit that we didn't see was her bombing. Because what we saw on stage afterwards was her telling Jane that she's old. And did you talk about, like, eating ass or something? Like, it was weird. Whew, what a bomb. What a bomb.
Yeah, Sosa, did you get it? because it was just it was almost like she, first of all, felt like she stole some of her jokes. Like, I'm pretty sure, at least in the critique time, practice time, I've heard some of those jokes before. But then she got out there and was like a completely different set. Like, what is she doing?
Well, for one, whenever they edit, like, oh, I'm a theater kid and I do this, you always know they're going to bomb. Like, I had the feeling that, okay, this is what they're doing. And the thing with her was, like, maybe they were cackling or kicking with her when she had her notepad because this was the practice. But when she came out with notepad again and it was like, it was still rehearsal, that's when it was just hard to watch for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say I cried for her. I did, you know, I
like tears. Embarrassment.
Yeah. No, I don't mention this now, but during elimination.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand like why they even allowed her to do that. You know what I mean? To bring that notebook on stage, mm-hmm. because it didn't. I mean, we know that it's edited down, right? But those sets didn't seem that long. I'm willing to bet that they were probably around 3 to 5 minutes long. You can mm-hmm. memorize. You're a theater kid. You can memorize shit that you write. So I don't know why they let her bring it on.
Everybody there. But Shay had a notebook with them on stage. Why?
Yeah.
I've never seen them allow a notebook on stage before. Do you think Bianca Del Rio's up there? I mean, I know this is like the cream of like, you know, the crop with this, but like.
But no, still, like if you're going to brand yourself as a comic queen, Miss Cracker.
You're going to yeah. see Ganja had the one of the cringiest things of all time. She went out there. She didn't have notebook. Hey.
Ganja's in the house. Hey.
But to be fair, Cracker didn't really look.
That's true. She didn't really look at her notebook at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really just felt like it was the two, like Jujubee and Blair, that were the two that really like needed to use the notebook for motivation. But I could not help myself. I did pull a still from the epic moment where, and we learned this in Untucked, that Blair St. Clair has written a joke, the setup on one piece of paper, and then she has to flip the piece of paper over to get to the punchline. Like, I feel bad because I do feel bad for Blair. Like, I don't want to rub it in. You know, clearly she like worked so hard. She wanted to prove herself and she kind of got this ego boost in with the practice. And then sort of everything just came crashing down. At the same time, it was very uncomfortable.
I kind of do want to rub it in.
Yeah, Beth, go ahead. You want to rub it in?
I kind of want to rub it in. First of all, why is your notebook one that flips this way and not this way? It would make it so much easier for you if you're going to have a notebook, first of all. Second, not that, I mean, clearly I didn't ace that just now, but my bad. Secondly, like, going back to what we just said, memorize your own words that you wrote. I know that, like, if you thought that you were so confident in everything that you put together, put more confidence into memorizing your lines and then you can embody the joke a little bit more. Otherwise, it comes off as.
This is not dead air. This is Beth just practicing her best Blair St. Clair impression.
Listening, that was like exciting. I'm just looking
at I wish that she had sort of like played to her strengths here. And when I say play to your strengths, like, hype up the fact that you don't have any strengths here. You know what I mean? Like, adding the notebook in could have been funny as hell if it were on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If it were intentionally part of the comedy routine, I would have lived for that. Like, oh, wait, hold on. I forgot the punchline. Like, I would have laughed my ass off, but she took it so seriously. And I guess Jane and Ross were telling her that she was the shit. So I blame them. I blame Jane and Ross. That's who I blame for this.
The jokes that they laughed at weren't even in the show, except for the first one where she said, you tried, but she didn't even deliver that in a way that was funny. Like, oh, God.
And it was awkward because Juju left the stage and everyone loved it. So it was like, she actually bombed that. What do you mean? Nice try.
That is very much Amon, to go back to your point about this, like, this is Shangela saying, I blame y'all. Like, y'all told her she was funny. I blame y'all. Talking about Trixie. Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if it was a situation where it's like, oh, she just felt so comfortable. She was like, no, I'm good. Like, I got this. I'm not even going to worry about it. Whereas Shea Coulee, who does a fantastic job, is like up all night freaking out and then is able to come up with something. So, yeah, this was very interesting because, you know, I thought Blair was like obviously going to be the one out. But then when we got the lead up to the performance, I was like, oh, like, this is actually going to be a competition. Like, Blair St. Clair is going to bring it. Unfortunately, it wasn't everything cracked up to be. Speaking of cracked up to be, Ms. Cracker is the next queen we're going to talk about.
That was great.
This is why I also would never do stand-up comedy, okay? So Ms. Cracker does her whole performance. She ends up winning this challenge. How do you think Cracker did? Did you agree with this decision?
Yeah, it was amazing. I'm so happy she came off as like natural and just in her element. She didn't try and take on a persona, I find. She just, you know, she made the personal jokes about herself. So I think she killed it, and she didn't give them any reason to be like, you were in your head, Cracker. You were all in your head. So yeah. I think, yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. She could have possibly even gone last and had been still as strong.
Yeah. I remember I saw Cracker perform one time, and this was like her on stage, Beth. Mm-hmm. Like, she just looked so comfortable. She was in her element and just doing what she does best.
Yeah, this is definitely obviously her wheelhouse here. This is exactly what Cracker likes to do. She likes to act an idiot up on stage, and she likes to do stand-up comedy. And I actually knew that. I've heard a couple of those jokes from her before, and I still laugh at them because it's, I think Blair St. Clair was the one who said it best. And she said it either in Untalked or when they were behind during the deliberations, where they said, where she said, Cracker was doing Cracker at a show, and I didn't do Blair at a show, and I really wish that I had. That's exactly what Ms. Cracker did. She was up on stage. She delivered as if like, hey, I'm just doing my normal thing. I'm going to be embodying a stand-up comedian, but the Ms. Cracker form of a stand-up comedian, and just give out my jokes. And I think all of us were a little nervous for her when we saw the deliberations. I was like, oh my gosh, this is not, or not deliberations, sorry, the practice run with Jane and Ross. And I was like, uh-oh, like, we know he got jokes. But I think Ross really was able to say, like, hey, girl, you need to calm down the thinking. But you need to embody your jokes and give that delivery to us. It's less about what's on the paper and more about how you're delivering it, because we know you have the jokes. So, and that's exactly what she did. She did everything she needed to do in this challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman, I mean, like, this was just so fun. It felt a little bit shorter than the others. I don't know if that's because how it was edited, but I see you smiling there. Oh, and those of you who are listening in podcast form, don't change the channel. But if you do want to watch us, we are now 26 minutes in, but you can still come look at all our wonderful faces and the runways. Check us out. Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back. Aman, go.
I mean, I told y'all, because I know that there are some people that are, you know, they're a little down on Cracker. I get it. I understand. Like, Cracker is not everybody's cup of tea. She doesn't have to be. But this is what I was talking about when I said that the queen is talented. She has talent, because this is like you, Beth. I have seen, she likes to host. Okay. Mm-hmm. You go to Hell's Kitchen. On any given weekend pre-corona, you will find Ms. Cracker at some bar, at some gig, hosting some show, entertaining everybody. This is what she does. So it doesn't always translate well to Drag Race challenges. We've had that conversation plenty of times about how sometimes you can be a great drag queen, but not a great Drag Race contestant. And sometimes it doesn't always line up. But this week in particular, this was the week for her to do exactly what, like, this was the week for her to not overthink, because she always does this. The jokes come out of her mind, as long as she can think about them, has some time to think about them beforehand, write them down, trim the fat, just get to the joke, and then, you know, deliver it. Like, she can deliver it, no problem. So I thought this was like a really shining week for her. It was no surprise that she was going to win. I knew from the get-go that she was going to win, but I was still entertained the entire time around. So, like, I get that not everybody's going to be that happy with Ms. Cracker winning. She has now won, what, three now? Three damn wins?
This is her third
over
win.
Everybody else? So,
You know what this is, to be honest with y'all? Like, I called this in the very beginning of the season. If you go back to the episode 2 podcast, remember when I said, oh my gosh, the one who's getting edited as being shady, Trixie, is on this upward trajectory at the very end? I said, maybe that's why we're getting some of this, oh, Cracker can't make friends thing. I don't know. I'm just saying it's happening.
Oh my gosh.
Is she gonna win? We don't know.
We'll have to see. Sosa, do you think Cracker stands a chance?
I do. I ended the episode like, this is going to be a close call, in my opinion, between Shea Coulee and Ms. Cracker.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Do they break Shea Coulee's heart again and recognize that Ms. Cracker is hella talented? Or do they give it to her as her redemption season? I don't know.
Well, thankfully, we don't have to wait much longer. This is going to be next week, which this puts all the rumors of like, okay, any returning queen like to rest. No one's going to come back. We're just going to get 8 episodes. And I think that's a wrap. But before we get there, we have one more queen to talk about, and that is Ms. Shay Coulee, who, by the way, looked absolutely fantastic. Like, who wears this? I was about to say cake layered dress, but that just flashes me to all the memes recently that have been like, cut it open, it's a cake.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, I know, right?
She looked, oh my gosh, just absolutely gorgeous, Beth. And I'm not gonna lie, I may have preferred her performance or her stand up set to Cracker's, but what did you think?
So I think that both her and Cracker were very, very strong. I heard more jokes from Shay, if that makes sense. So it's like Shay had a stand-up set where she had a list of jokes and she kind of recited them and that kind of thing. Ms. Cracker, half of her stuff was her going like, it works! Look at my body! Blah! And like making you laugh that way and like, blah, 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 you know, like all that kind of stuff. So there's a difference there in the comedy that they're providing. Shay Coulee's set was more cohesive altogether. There was a point, the jokes led into each other. It was really well thought out. And the fact that she came up with it really the morning of the, after staying up all night, the morning of the show, the performance, like she killed it. And she went out there memorized. She looked like a million bucks. Head to toe, like everything was great. I really, really enjoyed it. I still think I'd laughed more at Ms. Cracker's, but I was so happy with what Shay Coulee did, and I would not have been mad if she had won.
Yeah, so what about you? Did you think that that Shay Coulee did a good job here?
Yeah, I think she did a marvelous job, especially because she took the judges' critiques and then really went back to that, you know, soft spot for her and used it. She could have chickened out and been like, no, I'm not ready yet to laugh about it. Now, I will say, just like you, Beth, I laughed more and with Cracker during her set, but Shay Coulee really sat down. She thought about different points and it was a set, as you said. I just think because she doesn't view herself as a stand-up comedy queen, it was a little bit stiff, a little bit. If she'd let go like 5% more, I think she'd have taken that win for sure.
That's actually a really great point, because I think I preferred the content of the jokes more from Shay Coulee, but I totally get that feeling of just loosen up a little bit. Like it still felt a little stiff. Like the line that I really laughed at was, I started going to therapy. I used to think therapy is only for white people with money, but now I know it's also for black people with money. But you want that delivery. Yeah. Like that was so funny. And the James Earl Jones joke about the rose petals and coming to America also just really made me laugh. Yeah. There was so much of the content that was really enjoyable, but yeah, it did feel a little bit stiff. And I think that combined with the fact that they didn't like her outfit is probably also part of the reason why she didn't end up winning this challenge. I thought she was so fun. She looked absolutely gorgeous. I mean, I know that's not the challenge, but still, she's a drag queen. And I think that she was really able to turn it out, especially because we see her really struggling so much sort of with all of the preparation stuff. And I think the one other thing that I will say about Shay is that I'm not crazy that the judges sort of forced her into the talk about your past kind of thing, because it was like, I mean, maybe if she'd had jokes, then they would have like laid off of that. But it was like, oh, go ahead and use your experiences, pull a Whoopi Goldberg and really like tell the story. Because I think it ended up working out for her in the long run, that she was able to sort of talk about this and get everything together. Aman, what did you think about Shay's performance?
I liked it as well. It is sort of like Jubilee has stumbled into a bit of a gold mine as far as her past arc is concerned, because you know that your All-Star season is all about redemption, right? So she really came into this season with a big, big, big thing to prove. And she's been able to sort of like talk about that in multiple challenges. And I feel like this one was like no other. But I really enjoyed what Ross had to say when he talked about how if you are able to laugh about it and make jokes about it, then it really cleanses us of this moment. And I honestly feel like, win or lose, haters don't come from me. I'm not trying to say that I want Shay to lose. I'm just saying, win or lose, I honestly feel like moving past this season, we can put the rose petals to rest now. You know what I mean? Right. It's done.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think that part, like, we can set aside. I think the other thing about that is, like, when you think of Shay Coulee, I don't even necessarily think of her as, oh, the queen that lost to Sasha. Like, she's so fabulous in her own right, yeah. Sosa, that it's not, for me, it's not like, oh, yeah, right, she lost to Sasha.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was such a joke in the Drag Race community that she lost to Sasha until this season. She keeps bringing it up. I mean, Sasha was a very fierce competitor, and it was, you know, neck and neck with who could win. So I don't think it was... I don't know, this huge Rob story, but this is definitely her storyline for this season. So
I think that what we're dealing with is not that people are laughing at Shay, but they're laughing at like how iconic the rose moment was. So like you see people reference that even outside of the LGBTQIA community, like people are referencing that all the time now. And I think that when you're on the receiving end of that, especially like the whole season, I mean, at the end of that, I don't think there was anybody who expected that Shay was going to lose season 9. Like there was really like when all of a sudden it turned around and you have a lip syncing one, even then I was like, well, Shay's a fierce lip syncer. So I don't know. It's just going to work out that way. And then that happened. I really think if it's just because she's on the receiving end of all of that, like, that she kind of views it as they're laughing at her downfall, when really what we're doing is like celebrating an iconic moment in Drag Race history.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Is that just like when you, if you're involved in the incident and people are talking about the incident, maybe you just kind of feel like, oh, I'm by, like a byproduct is like, oh, I'm part of this whole process.
Right.
So, okay. Let's take a stop down and talk about the runway and the judging here. And we get our final results. So the judging category, or the runway category, I'm sorry, is Freak Out, I believe is what called. Freak Out. And I thought this was a sort of a fun, interesting category. It was interesting to see how the four different queens interpreted like Freak Out, like what that meant, because I think we got such a variety of looks on the runway. But the first one that we'll start with, and that is Ms. Jujubee here. And she had I think it was described, maybe it was Untucked, I can't remember, as being vivacious. She is just essentially vivacious. Yes.
What about you, Vivacious? They're having like a deep moment of like crying. She's like, how do you feel, Vivacious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was just so funny. Beth, what did you think about her look this week?
Absolutely my favorite look that she's done on any Drag Race episode ever. It was my favorite look of all four of them. This is an all-stars look. Mm-hmm. This is what I've wanted Juju to bring. I wanted her to say, not only have I worked at the mall and then I owned a store in the mall, then I owned the mall. I wanted her to say, I put a freak show in that mall and I made it unique and I do shit with it. Like, this was perfect. I loved this. I loved the checkered and the houndstooth like patterns that were colliding. You saw the broken heart. You see the different shapes with the spikes, the chain links. Like, this was so well put together and it fits her so beautifully. I loved it. Love.
Yeah, so what did you think about this?
Yeah, this definitely screams Freak Out or freak show in the most glamorous way ever. Her makeup, like, absolutely amazing. And this is the kind of energy, like Beth, that I wish she kind of had the entire season, because then that would make her a really strong possible contender for the crown. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is okay. So this is like my whole feeling on Jujubee in general, not to like jump too far ahead, but like she's been so consistently good, but there have been very few moments, like maybe this outfit aside, where I've been just like completely blown away. But that being said, she's like an 8 or 9 out of 10 every single week. And so part of me is like, I want to reward that consistency. But at the same time, I also like, it feels weird to oh my gosh, I'm like getting so worked up about this. It would feel weird to reward her with a crown when I feel like I haven't had that blown away moment. But yeah. This to me is like a blown away runway. Like, this is so cool. She even says it. I know my outfit is amazing. Because your outfit is amazing, girl. Between everything from the chain link, the colors, the patterns, the shape, she looks gorgeous.
The 10-inch platforms that she's on.
Oh, my God.
The glitter tears.
Amazing. Like, everything about this is amazing. And she kind of has that mask that then she, like, takes off and reveals the tears so sad. Like, it's just absolutely gorgeous. And just... maybe this is the blown away moment. Like, Jujubee was able to really just shock me on a runway, because also I would never have expected her to wear something like this. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about the next queen here. And that is Miss Belair St. Clair. And she is going to come out in, like, I don't know what it was, like a kitty cat look. I'm not exactly sure how you would describe this.
I was really feeling this look when she came out. I was like it was fun. Like, it's a freak out, but I want to say Vogue, or what's that word they use?
Like club kid, like a club kid look?
Club kid, but also not Vogue. It's a word that means like kind of editorial. But anyway, it's a very editorial looking freak out look. It was fit to her body. Her makeup was awesome. I loved the hair. I thought she was going to did she do a reveal with her mask?
Mm-hmm, at the very end, she like takes it off.
Yeah. So I was anticipating that reveal. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beth, what did you think about Blair here?
I needed to see this a lot more. I was instantly, don't get me wrong, this is absolutely fitting the category. Mm-hmm. My hardest criticism on her all season is it the category? No, this is the category. But I think because there's so much going on, I had a hard time figuring out like what it is. And I think for me, what would have been better is if she didn't have the lime green / yellow like leggings and arms, if they had all just been consistently the black and white, the black polka dots or something, and just had the colors elsewhere and like the bright pink shoes, that probably would have done it for me. But I think it was just too much for me a little bit. I understand the high fashion aspect of it. I love the like fur, like bikini with the tail. I think that it was just almost too much for me to kind of to gather. But the more I looked at it, the more I liked it. It was just instantly, I was like, oh, I don't know. After seeing Jujubee, which was like so head to toe, like obviously like so well put together, was obviously a freak look, but it just didn't go like chaotic. I felt like this was almost slightly too chaotic. That was just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think I had this similar feeling to you. The fact that I remember looking at it when I watched the episode, and then now if you tune into the video version of the podcast on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page, you can see what the outfit looks like. And we're watching it now, and I'm still confused about it because, like you said, there are so many pieces. I think I love it. Like, I love it. It's just, it's one of those art pieces that I would need to stare at for a very long time to really absorb and take in everything. I don't think I was able to take that away from this episode, but I still think it's really fun. The furry bra, furry panties with the cat. And I think it was, who is it that made the joke? It must have been, oh yeah, it was Sam Richardson who made the joke about this is what my cat thinks he's like or something like that. Not part of her outfit, but made me feel the whole aesthetic just that much more.
I also think if she didn't have the mask on at all and just had kept the makeup, I liked her makeup rather than the mask. So I think that might have just, it was just one thing. I'm happy that she removed it at some point. Mm-hmm.
It was also very pre-COVID-19 chic. Like, now I see masks, and we're going to talk about Cracker's look, but with the whole plague doctor thing, I was like, oh, guys, please don't do this. Like,
that's like, interesting. Oh, God, no. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Cracker, let's talk about her look next. So Sosa, she did like this whole, like I said, plague doctor reveal into, she describes it, I think, as like death herself. If death were a hoe.
Mm-hmm. This was my favorite look of the runway. I loved the concept. I loved the storytelling. It was Cracker in her head coming up with the story, and the judges were here for it this week. And I also really, really enjoyed like the different look of the contacts, that glamorous look. Her makeup was amazing. Her wig could have been laid maybe a little smoother. If we're getting really, really practical and detailed, like Blair's wig placement in comparison to Cracker's, but all in all, this was one of my favorite looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth, what about you? Did you enjoy this look that much?
I did. I thought that this was a really good interpretation of freak as well, because she went for like freak out, like getting freaked out by things. So when the I thought that it just really fit the assignment, but was different than like the colors and, you know, if you're on an acid trip or something like that. This is like if you're on a bad trip, I'm assuming. I've never been on a trip, so I can't tell. But I loved this look. As soon as she came around the corner with like the, like you said, like the plague doctor, because what was it, like 13th century kind of doctors wore something like this. And then she added like the steampunk element to it, which I thought was so fun. Mm-hmm. And then she revealed to this, I was like, this is not something we would have seen from Cracker on season 10. This is a growth moment. This is something that I really appreciated seeing her go for. This is not your traditional Cracker. So I really liked it. I loved the two different colored eyes, the one that was all white, the one that was all black. They were both freaky, and just having them together, I was like, ah, girl, you brought it. But I loved that, like the robe matched the kind of the colors, but it's like on like the bodysuit, but the bodysuit like melded them together. I don't know. I think that there's like more of a story the more I look at it too, that I really enjoy with like the red nails. Ugh,
love mm-hmm. that. Yeah. It was described in the judging, but she definitely had the most unique look on the runway that really stood out. Everybody did these sort of bright colors, crazy outfits. And then this was like, felt very pointed. It felt like she was telling a story and had a message here. So I think that really makes it stand out. And the fact that, you know, the Cher resemblance was not lost on the commentary. So it was funny as well. Also, by the way, to those of you who are listening, Amon is having some technical difficulties, so we're working on bringing him back, but he should be back soon. Let's talk about our last queen to walk the runway, and that is Ms. Shay Coulee, Beth, who went for a very interesting interpretation of the freak out runway theme.
Yeah, so I'm just disappointed, to be honest with you guys. Like, I loved when she was describing it and talking about like, yeah, I'm going for like 90s like kid at the club. So not necessarily club kid, but like kid who's partying. And I don't know, like I like the shoes and the jacket, but I don't like it with like the bodysuit. And I love the bodysuit with like the like bondage, pink bondage stuff on top of it. But all of that together, like it just didn't meld well. Like I feel like she could have had something different for a jacket and shoe, or she could have had something different underneath. Loved the hair. Thought that was cool. Like the almost like the mullet, like loved that. We know the mullet's coming back. Work. Cool. But to be honest, I just kind of felt like this was basic for Shay. I was expecting something bigger. You know what would have been great for this is that look that they called crafty a few weeks ago, with like the caterpillar, like the three looks in one, like becoming a butterfly. Like the final look would have been really killer for this runway as well. So I don't know. I just feel like I've been, maybe it's just because she set the bar so high. I just feel a little like disappointed.
Yeah. So what about you? Did you have a similar reaction to Shay's look this week?
Yeah, I was in the same boat. Like, I'm not sure if it really fit the category. And it was a pretty like safe way to go. It's the, you know, your kid at the club. She missed it, but I'm happy that she missed it. Her makeup was cute and her hair was, like you said, Beth, was awesome. But, and when she was doing the voiceover, you're feeling it. But it was one of the weaker ones for me on this runway, which is surprising from Shay Coulee because she usually always dominates the runways.
Mm-hmm. I think this really is a case of setting the bar so high. Like, I love this outfit. The coat that I think she said was like hand dyed, something like that. I mean, it looks fabulous. Love the boots, love the bodysuit, but just, oh, poor Shay. Like, low expectations are the key to happiness. Like, she just set the bar too high. I wanted more. It's almost like Juju V zapped, like, the energy from Shay this week in terms of putting together something that I would, you know, go, wow, when she walks around the corner. That being said, though, like, if I'm just sort of judging based on, I don't know, not Shay Coulee bar, like, I really like this outfit. Just, I was underwhelmed given what she's brought in the past. And I think also with some of the other looks, like I would probably pick Blair St. Clair's over this one in terms of what I think I enjoyed more, maybe fit the theme more, but she presents it with such energy. I'm kind of now, as I were watching this, kind of drawn back in just because she's so energetic, got that Elle DeBarge hair. She's got a lollipop for some reason, just, you know, like really enjoying what she has to bring. But I think, you know, I think this is it's probably my fourth favorite look, if I really had to be honest with myself, of what the queens brought this week. So,
and that's there we are. That's scary for me, because like, what if she didn't do well in the challenge itself, and that was the look she was trying to save herself with? I'd be like, girl, way to like fall at the last hurdle before the final three.
No. Yeah, that would very much give me Alaska in season two vibes of we'll PayPal you. I have to be here. We'll PayPal you $10,000 to stay. So Amon, we walked through all the runways. Definitely did that on purpose. do you have any thoughts that you want to give on some of your main takeaways from the runway looks this week?
I feel like I'll probably follow a lot of what you guys have said. Shay's look wasn't freaky enough. I mean, if the theme was freaky, all she had was a pink outfit with a tie-dyed coat on. Like, where's the pizzazz? I was oddly surprised by Jujubee's look, you know? I definitely had the freakish vibe to it. I enjoyed that. But I sort of, like, echo your voice, your point about Shay in the Converse, like, where we sort of, like, expecting something to be a little bit low energy from Jujubee, and the fact that she did give us something a little bit more wow in your face, we're like, oh, okay. I liked Miss Cracker's look. Mm-hmm. It was all right. It was okay.
What'd you think about Blair's?
Blair's? I just... Can you pull Blair's up again for me?
Yeah, absolutely. Is that possible? Yes. Yeah, so Blair St. Clair had kind of this like very all over the place look with the fur bikini, the polka dots, the, what are those puffs called that you played with when you were like doing arts and crafts when you were eight? Like what, they're on her shoulders, balls. But they're, yeah, those puff balls, but they're like giant.
They even almost look like koosh balls.
Yeah,
they're not quite koosh balls, but you know.
Yeah, this is very club kid to me, which is I guess, you know, that's the easy thing to go for as a drag queen, is to sort of like borrow from that era. It's definitely freaky, but it's also like not cohesive to me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's what Beth was talking about. Yeah,
maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh, because I mean, it is. I mean, it's you're supposed to be a freak, so it's about, you know, being freakish. But at the same time, it just sort of, there's like too much going on. But it's not the worst look of the night by far. I think Shay's is the worst. So
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot to look at.
All right. Well, we get to our decision that Cracker has won this week's challenge, and of course, with these new all-star rules, all three remaining queens are in the bottom. And we go to the deliberations. And to be honest, the deliberations were a little on the boring side. The Blair argument, though, I really want to talk about, because her whole thing, Beth, was like, oh, I've grown the most. Like, I'm growing. And I'm like, girl, this is all-stars. Go grow at home.
I think that I think she knew she was going. I think that she just knew that there was no way based off of critiques, and she knew it in her soul. Like, she owned that she just didn't do well. She wasn't trying to make excuses for it, which I give her full credit for, because there are so many people who will, and we can get to someone in Canada, like Kine, for example, didn't do that kind of thing. But she's really just grasping at straws at this point. She really understands that she's going, and she's trying to say, like, I've grown a lot. I want this a lot. And I think that a lot of the arguments that she brings up are things that we've heard throughout the entirety of the season. We've heard India say them. We've heard Mayhem say them. We've heard all these queens that went before her say them, but it just doesn't work at the final four. I'm sorry, hon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did you have a sense of who you thought was going to go here, either by vote or by cracker vote?
Yeah, this, unfortunately, as strong as a competitor that I think Blair is, especially with her fashion looks every single week, it was her time. I think Jujubee's, I thought, if anything, it would be between maybe Jujubee and Blair, but because of how strong Jujubee's comedy stand-up was, that it was definitely her time to go. And it just broke my heart, the look on her face when she saw, like, moments before Cracker even pulled out the name, you could kind of see, like, she felt, looked defeated.
Yeah, I think she probably knew that this was her time to go. I mean, you just listen to the critiques, and I know that they're edited down. We don't see everything, but she clearly got the most negative critiques, you know. And if you're going based on track record, even though in the deliberations, you know, Cracker says, well, I don't necessarily want to make this about track record, but, like, you're going to make it at least a little bit about track record. Okay, so. Yeah, it's kind of the writing is on the wall type situation where I think Blair, it was pretty clear that Blair was going to end up going, whether it was through the cast vote or through Cracker choosing her lipstick. We get to the lip sync and we see Miss Kennedy Davenport Amon comes out as our lip sync assassin this week.
Now, why the fuck?
I already
would they
know.
Finally bring Kennedy Davenport back. And then give us that damn song. Who is running shit over there at RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 5? I felt like this is a big ass troll. This was a troll to the fans because they knew how much you wanted to see Kennedy Davenport come back and slay the run or slay a lip sync. And then they give her this song.
I just first of all, who is choosing the songs this season? Because there is yet to be one song that they've chosen that I'm like, yes, that's a song I want to lip sync to. Like, this is who lip syncs Reba McEntire on RuPaul's Drag Race.
So I don't necessarily have a problem with the song choice. I have a problem with the lip sync assassin that it was paired with. Like, yeah. Sosa, it's almost like they have two people. One person is in charge of picking the lip sync assassin and the other person is in charge of picking the lip sync song. And they do refuse to speak to one another.
And based on that, if I'm being so real, the lip sync battle was so underwhelming that for a split second, I thought Rue might just be like, it's a draw. Neither of
send
you guys
them both
won.
Home.
Yeah. Or send them both home. One of those moments. Yeah. I just, there wasn't much they could do. Miss Cracker was doing, like, you know, her, what do they call? Sibilates. Those spurls, like the ballet turns to the song. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't a fit, but I know she wanted to do something. I feel like she was kind of wary that maybe Kennedy would start doing backflips and stuff like that, but those moments didn't exist with this song. So, yeah.
It just was so boring. Kennedy Davenport, all she got to do was just, here's my cape. I'm going to just look at you, spin my cape. And then Miss Cracker was like, I'm going to be animated in a way that doesn't make sense for the song. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I'm on.
I feel like Kennedy wore that particular outfit in protest. I feel like she got to set, was ready to slay in something, and then heard that lip sync. So I was like, oh, I have to listen to this? All right, well, I'm wearing my Sunday's best because fuck this.
Like, I'm going on Drag Race. Yes, I'm going to look just how I want to look, not give this song any thoughts.
So she did an interview where she talked about how much she hates lip syncing to this song. And the Nancy Drews over at Reddit were like, oh, she did that interview after All Stars was filmed. Like, this is clearly in response to this.
Wait, who's the she? Kennedy?
Yeah, or Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah, Kennedy was like, oh, it's my least favorite song to lip sync. It's probably in response. It's just like, it don't make no kind of sense. Like, why?
That's I also love how both in Untucked and with RuPaul at the end of the lip sync, they're like, there are a lot of words in this. I was like, I was so bored. I didn't even notice there were a lot of words in the song. That's how bored I was.
I just noticed Kennedy not knowing all the words because there were so many words. Okay, I think we've talked about this before, but I want to get the panel's opinion. where do we fall in terms of, should the lip sync assassin get the $10,000 or should it roll over? Aman, let's start with you.
I don't think that the lip sync assassin should get the $10,000 only because, I mean, we know it's a game of pick and choose from RuPaul, but I feel like that's just blatant pick and choose. It's like, oh, let's bring back these certain queens just so that I can give them the chance to win money. And then you're going to have all the other queens that also are pretty good at lip syncing that don't get asked back. I think it's just like a messy situation all the way around. Just have it roll over. If they do win something, if they do win, give them a trip somewhere. I don't know. But I don't I don't need the lip sync assassins to win $10,000 from not having to compete or anything. All they have to do is come and slay one lip sync after these girls that have been like competing this entire time and putting their blood, sweat, and tears into the competition. Like, I would much rather that money go to them than someone who's just coming in for 2 hours.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. I was just like, how do I make someone like really care and try to do it? Just because I feel like if Kennedy's like, well, I'm not going to get paid, this is too many words. Like, so sad. Yeah. I'm not going to bother and memorize all of this.
That's exactly how I feel. I was going to say, maybe if they had opportunity to win some money, we'd be getting some more stronger performances. But after hearing him on, I do feel what you're saying, and I kind of...
Just give them like a trip or something. Give them... Yeah. Give them
an incentive of some sort.
Yeah.
Or here's a gift card to Parker Epstein or whatever it is. That
if you really want, you know, if you want some something monetary, then you could do something where the price gets cut like in half. You know what I mean? In half of it will go to lip sync and then the other half will roll over. Yes. You know what I mean?
Perfectly. I think that makes sense. I mean, we also need to just, I mean, obviously they're getting paid to come back onto the show. So like they are getting paid in some capacity for showing up. But I don't know. I do think there should be more of an incentive though. It should be like, if you win the lip sync, I love the idea that you just said, Aman, where we're going to cut this in half, 5,000 will roll over to next week and the other 5,000 is going to be a tip.
Because it is a bit of a hollow feeling when they do win. Because it's like, congratulations, you're a winner, baby. And then you're like, eliminate the bitch.
And here's like, what you get to do. You get to cut one of your sisters that you didn't have any hand in, but you get to deliver the news. Congratulations on winning the lip sync.
Hopefully it's not your drag mom. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about let's touch on Untucked real quick before we talk about this, because we find out Blair St. Clair gets sent home and we are down to our top three. And the way that they structured Untucked was a little bit different this week. We actually got a question about this. Beth, what did you think about the fact that they had to like restructure Untucked and do some sort of like more flashback moments to earlier in the day?
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier in this podcast where you said they just didn't have enough to film. I actually really liked having the point of view of seeing them in between doing their stand-up routine and getting ready for the runway. That's normally footage that we don't get to see. And it was really cool to have them fresh off the stage in the moment. Okay, how do we think we did? What are we nervous about? I really need to bring this on the runway. I think I nailed it. This, you know, I loved that kind of conversation, but it didn't really add much to what we already knew.
Yeah. I think it was just an extension of like, oh, we have to fill Untucked. Like, oh crap, what are we going to do? All right.
There's only so much you can do when you get down to like, what, 4 or 3 girls?
Yeah.
That's why we probably haven't had Untucked before on All Stars when they're already deliberating and you're using that as a part of the episode. But
yeah, that's a good point. That's probably why. All right. We are here with our top three. We have Jujubee, Shay, and Cracker. What I want to do is I want to do one of my favorite exercises, which is the head, heart, gut analysis. So the head is who you think is going to win. Your heart is who you want to win, and your gut is just whatever your gut is telling you of who you think is going to win. So, Beth, do you have any reads on those three categories of who you think is going to end up taking the crown?
Okay, my head thinks it will be Shay.
Okay.
My heart thinks it'll be Shay, and my gut says it's going to be Cracker.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think about those choices?
This is so difficult, but my head off the bat thinks it's going to be Shay. My heart is a tricky one. After this episode, I'm going to say Miss Cracker. And then my gut goes back to Shay.
Okay, Aman, where do you land on this?
I think that all three have to go to Shay. You know what? No, I'll scratch that. I think my head is saying Miss Cracker. What? Because I feel like a lot of the reasons that I want Shay to win are kind of like similar to why I want Miss Cracker to win. I feel like they both got cut. Well, Shay made it all the way, so her loss in season 9 is a lot more of a sting than Miss Cracker. But I honestly feel like Miss Cracker was doing pretty well in season 10. She had one bad week and then she gets sent home by Cameron Michaels. I'm like, damn, is that how we really want to end this story? So really, they both had lots of proof coming back in. But I will say, I think that my head wants Miss Cracker, but my heart and gut say Shay Coulee, just because, I mean, just based off of all of the online support that she's getting, and in the particular time that we're in right now. I mean, we already had our Black winner for season 12, our Black Miss Congeniality. I feel like just optics-wise for the show, giving the All-Stars winner to a Black queen, it just, especially to a deserving Black queen, you know what I mean? So I feel like my gut and my heart are like, okay, you just got to give it to Shay, considering that she's just been such a front runner the entire time. And excuse me, people were trying to come for her too. Like, it wasn't exactly like an easy sailing road. Like, there were definitely moments in time where it was like, oh, Shay can go home. Like, even last week, Miss Cracker was like, you want me to choose Shay's lipstick? You know you do. Yeah. You know you want me to eliminate her. So, like, there's a story here, and I would love to see Miss Cracker win. I would, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, you got to give it to Shay.
Mm. I also like having a Black queen who's not sharing it with a white queen and All-Stars would be nice.
Yeah.
Dead.
I swear to God, if it is a tie between Cracker and Shay, I'm throwing my computer out the window.
Well, this is
RuPaul might as well just jump right down into them fracking holes, because it would be bedlam on these streets. Okay.
Yeah, so what are you saying?
I'm saying this season was pre-filmed though, right?
So what they do is they film multiple endings. So like what they did for All Stars 4 was they had filmed an ending for Trinity winning. They had filmed an ending for Monet winning. And then they just like edited them like split screen right next
together.
To one another. Yeah, which was hilarious.
RuPaul's voiceover rather than what he was saying in the studio being like, congratulations to both of you. And it was like a very different sound than him being in the studio. Oh God, it was so awkward.
So do they film multiple endings and then the night of RuPaul just decides? No.
Well, so they make a decision at some point in time. Like, Aman, unless you know more about sort of when that decision is made, like they film the multiple endings to sort of give them the flexibility, and then they'll make a decision at some point down the line of who they think is going to win or who they want to win, I guess.
Yeah. I don't have any inside information. I just think that he probably already know. They probably know at the end of the season and they're just waiting because they don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah, it's mainly just because of the spoiler community. Like the we got some serious Nancy Drews up in here and drag queens talk, so it would like get out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I think who would be the winner. All right, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna give mine. So my head and gut both say Shay Coulee. I think like even though we've talked about this being a march to the end for Shay, like she came in with such high expectations. She came in as almost like the assumed winner, but she's performed so freaking well throughout. Like even even this week, like her runway wasn't that great, but she's had amazing runways. I thought she's done really good, I think, in all the challenges. And so for me, I think that she will be the winner of the season. My heart though really wants Jujubee to win. I know it ain't gonna happen, but I really, really want Juju to win because I've been a fan of Juju's. I've been watching since season one. And I think there's a little part of me that like just has this love for the older queens that went through the ropes, really had to just deal with everything. And she's been, it's almost like when I'm judging her on the season, I'm like culminating every experience that she's had on Drag Race, which is making the top three, not once, not twice, but three freaking times. Like, how do you not give that girl a crown? At the same time, we talked about this. She's been just so consistently good, but she's never had those like oh, this, like, yes, yeah. This, like, this is the moment. And although my heart really, really wants her to win, like, I just don't think it's in the cards. And I think if anything, I'm hoping that what comes out of the season is that she's brought to the forefront. New people get to know her and know how good of a queen she is and how funny and how entertaining. And she's able to parlay the success into something more, even if she doesn't end up winning the crown, because I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm getting all choked up. I just love me some Jujubee. She's fantastic. And I hope, I want the best for her. I think, though, to touch on Cracker just briefly, I've been so blown away with what she's been able to do. Like, I wasn't the biggest Cracker fan coming into the season, but I've been impressed by her. And again, this could be an expectations thing of a low bar, but I think she really has earned her place in the final three. And I'm really happy that these are the queens that we're seeing here.
Yeah. Me too. I think these were the three that I was hoping would be top three, and the fact they are, I think that might be why I'm like, oh, this season was really good.
I got the outcome I wanted. Okay, well, we are going to be back with, yes.
Are we going to talk about the phone call that RuPaul gets at the end?
Oh my God.
I forgot about that.
What do we think this is about?
So, yeah, this was like right at the end. There was this old rotary phone that was sitting out on the judges' table, and all of a sudden there's a ring. It starts ringing. And of course, the girls are gagged. I'm gagged. I'm sure everyone at home is gagged. And turns out to be nothing.
I guess it'll just happen next week.
Like, what was that?
I guess maybe it's just supposed to be her calling up all the old queens. I don't know. It was so strange.
I'm thinking. Maybe they're saying we want... This is where I was wondering if they're going to like say that next week is the finale. And then you find out that next week is just like that filler episode.
Isn't the finale? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is the finale though, right?
It's probably going to be that reunion episode. They always have the episode before. Why would they not have it?
It seems like they're doing the reunion like embedded in the episode, or at least that's how they made it seem, because they were doing the reunion like in not in drag on the couches, right, just like hashing everything out. So Beth, I think this is legit. Like, it was just a gag and that's it. Nothing is happening.
I'm like so excited to see if anything comes out of it. But I was like, we can't move on to Canada's Drag Race before we discuss this phone call.
I'm sort of with you, Beth. I feel like they're saying it's the finale, but I feel like, I mean, 8 episodes is strange. It's just a weird departure from what they've usually done. So I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up something gets switched up, or I don't know. They're obviously trying to shake shit up, obviously, because they usually have brought back somebody by now and they haven't. And now they're saying this is the final three. So who are you? Are you Team Jujubee? Are you Team? And they never do that until it's the finale time. But at the same time, why do this phone call if there wasn't something? Because if you're just doing the phone call just to do it, screw y'all. Like, that's so stupid.
So I'm just remembering on a technical aspect, like a business aspect, that when they switched over to VH1, the reason why we have All Stars every year is because they need to fill as many episodes as that VH1 ordered. And I'm wondering, now that we've had like these secret celebrity episodes, if that makes up for the amount of episodes the All Stars would have normally given, and maybe is just a shorter season. Is next week like a 2-hour episode versus an hour and a half? Are they even going to do an Untucked next week? Because maybe this is all wrapped up into one episode and they just kind of count it as one episode.
Yeah. Honestly,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea. Like, I really don't. I wish, I'm trying to see if I can look up the TV Guide schedule to see, because what I'm seeing is they're going to rerun last week's episode at 6:30. And then at 8 p.m., we're going to see RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. It says for the final challenge before snatching the crown, plus past queens return to pop off. So maybe we get another episode after, like we're getting a final challenge, then we're having a finale the week after. Like, it doesn't actually say finale.
So maybe
that's why I'm so confused. Yeah.
Lord. All right. Well, whatever. We'll figure it out next week. You just tell us. Fine. Let's go ahead and close things out here for our All-Stars coverage before we jump into everything Canada's Drag Race. Sosa, thank you so much for talking about all this stuff with us. Where can people find you on social media?
You guys can find me at my handle, Dolled by Sosa, on Twitter and YouTube, typically doing mukbangs and talking all things reality TV and pop culture.
And Aman, what about you? Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Aman Adwin all over Twitter, as per usual. Yeah.
And last but not least, Beth, what about you?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on Instagram and Twitter, as well as on Twitch. Yeah.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Okay, let's get into Canada's Drag Race. So, Sosa, first of all, you are Canadian. Yes. You have been watching Canada's Drag Race. Yes. Overall, what are your thoughts on the season?
I'm happy it's here. In terms of the judges, I'm a fan of Brooklyn Heights. I loved her on her season, so I'm happy to see her kind of bring home her Drag Race reigns. I really like Jeffrey as a host. I'm waiting to get used to him. Like, I feel like he was... Do you guys care about this?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's like a good kind of like protege. Like, he tries to speak like RuPaul, I find, mm-hmm. though. And I want to know if that's like naturally him or if it's him trying to emulate what RuPaul does. But I'm here for it for now. Cece McKenzie, they use her for everything. Anything that's to do with like fashion or modeling and it's reality TV here, they always bring her. So... I don't know, but I love it. And I love how dynamic the cast are. Like, they're just much like Big Brother's casting. I just find that they're really dynamic characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think it's this episode, I think, was a little bit of a struggle. Like, I totally get what you're saying about it feels like they're trying to emulate RuPaul, specifically Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, instead of just like do your own thing. I think a little bit of that is just growing pains. You know, you're taking on something new. You're trying to figure out your own. So hopefully I think things will get a little bit better. But we have a lot to talk about with this episode. We have a hilarious mini challenge of reading the teleprompter, trilingual teleprompter. We have a main challenge, which was our rap rival girl group challenge, very bitch perfect-esque. And then, of course, the runway, which was Quebecky with the good hair. I died. Maybe I'm a basic bitch, but I died when I heard that was going to be the runway theme. Yeah. Beth, what do you think about the mini challenge of Canada's Drag Race?
I think it was hilarious. And it was just so funny. I love anytime you get these mini challenges or challenges that you see on other shows where the teleprompter, because it really, nothing makes you stress more than when people move what you are reading. And because like everyone was that kid one time in class where they had to read out loud and it was their turn and they were like, everyone's going to judge me if I don't know what this word is. And all you did was count out how many kids were in front of you so that you could read your paragraph first. Like, everybody did that. Now imagine that the teacher went, and it's all going to move. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that makes it so much more scary. So when you have a really fun challenge like this, it's not only in English, it's in French and it's in Draglish. I mean, whatever that was going to be, which was hilarious. It made it so funny. And it was, I just loved it. I loved how many people would read like the cues for them to do things or would just like trample over their partner and just continue to read. Like, I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, Aman, this was, I think, the first time we've seen a teleprompter challenge since season one of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I laughed out loud, like actually laughed out loud here. So we're having a little...
I never understand why people... Because I was the opposite, Beth. I wanted to be... Oop. Am I still here?
We're just having a little bit of technical issues with Amon's connection, but we can hear you. Yep, continue.
Okay, I was going to say I'm the opposite. I was the kid that wanted to read in school. I was like, yeah, call on me, honey. Like, I would be so expressive with all of my, of all the words. I'm like, always like, when these queens cannot read the teleprompter. And I'm like, are they speeding it up for some of these people? Like, are they like reversing it and doing all sorts of stuff? Because sometimes I'm like, I don't like, this looks like it's kind of easy, except for the French. The French is a little crazy. I could French.
I like the idea of people who don't speak French or like another language just trying to like muddle their way through it. Just so fun.
Yeah. And Sosa, you know, this is obviously a benefit for the Quebec queens who actually speak French, who then got to just sort of hop in. Like Rita Baga was all about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? To be fair, for the drag queens, at least that grew up in Canada, it is a requirement to take French up until grade 9. So they all have enough of that, at least a little bit of a basis to have been able to get through it. Like I was reading along with it, but I took French throughout high school and whatnot though. But it was hilarious. It was fun to watch. I love the queens that like just started making up random words and kept in character at least. So that was funny.
I also think Jimbo did the best Nancy Grace impression we've ever seen on Survivor or on Survivor on Drag Race ever. Like, just
I know. I do so want to funny. See Survivor where it's just people impersonating Nancy Grace the entire time.
That'd be an amazing Smash game if it was all just Nancy Grace's.
Oh my god.
Well, we see Priyanka and Lemon, who are the pair here, end up winning. And so they are going to be the captains of the challenge for this week, which Sosa, I thought this was so fun. It was a creative way to do, you know, write your own verse kind of challenge by having it be a little bit more pointed, right? Like you guys are in rival girl groups, you have to shade the other queens.
Yeah. Yeah. This challenge, I thought was so much fun. It was kind of like the library challenge, but in a musical form. And I really am here for Lemon. Like she just has so much energy. She's like so confident in what she wants to do. I enjoyed her and the team that she chose. I was Team Lemon for this challenge.
Okay, like overall, because yeah, we didn't end up seeing like one of the teams end up winning. Well, so what are Beth? What are some of your takeaways from the performance? Some people that you liked, people that you didn't like.
Yeah. So I had very different impressions of what the judges put together. I thought that Jimbo should have been in the bottom, and it pains me to say that because I love Jimbo, but there was like no personality in the performance. There was really like not much dancing going on. And even though I thought her hair look on the runway was really unique and cool, and I definitely think it was one of the more unique looks, I don't know how I would have loved to hear the judges' critiques on that. For me, I was kind of like, oh, that's a lot of hair and that's really cool. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know if it's a look. I don't know. Maybe I was just being harsh because I wasn't a fan of her performance. But I felt like overall Jimbo should have been in the bottom. I felt like I didn't think that Kiara was that bad. I thought that she should have been safe at the very least. I thought her lyrics were funnier than most of the other queens' lyrics, and I could actually understand them. There's some queens I couldn't understand. I thought that Scarlett Bobo's performance was fine. I didn't think it was a top. So I was kind of all over the place. I thought the Priyanka's lyrics were just like, what's my name? What's my name? What's my name? What's my name? And even though she has a wonderful spirit and I thought she really nailed the energy of it, I hate her lyrics. So I couldn't get on the same page with the judging altogether. But I was fine with Priyanka winning at the end of the day, because I did think that this episode was all about her strengths from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The choreo performance, a little messy from all the queens.
Yeah,
they were really struggling. They gave the energy, but in most cases they gave the energy. But even like Tainomi, who has, we learned, oh my gosh, danced with Deborah Cox for like 10 years, still I think was a little underwhelming for me. And I completely agree with you, Beth. Like I totally had the wrong reads of who I thought was going to be in the top and the bottom. Lemon, for one, to go to Sosa's comments about Lemon, like, she's just so fun. And I loved her lyrics. She, in my mind, did accomplish the task because she read the group, then she read each of the individual queens. Whereas, like you said, Beth, Priyanka's lyrics were like, what's my name? What's my name? Which they would have been fun lyrics, I think, for sort of just a general performance, but maybe not for this specific challenge. I don't know how you felt about like the eventual judging of who ended up in the top and the bottom. But to me, I think it was a little bit inconsistent, at least with what we saw.
Yeah. And it was surprising to see Tainomi back in the bottom after in the beginning she was so dead set about, you know, not really being in the bottom again. And if she is, no survivors. So at least she did send someone else home. It wasn't her. But I was really shocked to see her in the bottom two this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman, we were just talking about the eventual results of the challenge in general. The sort of our general consensus was like, oh, you know, did the queens... was the judging fair? And like, did the queens that ended up in the top deserve to be in the top?
It seemed like they put a lot of emphasis on the runway looks this episode. Because truth be told, I hated almost every single one of these looks. Almost every single one. They were all horrendous. They were all fugly. Okay? Especially Anastasia.
Oh, Anastasia.
That was the most ridiculous concept and idea that I have ever seen, and it was just ugly. And so was Tainomi's. That was just like, what were you doing, girl?
We saw shots of that hat all episode, and I was like, please, please, dear God, make no one ever wear that. And then it came out, and I was like,
like I thought that Tainomi being in the bottom was fair. I could tell from the challenge that she was definitely like in the back. But what's her face? Alona. Was it Alona or was it
Alona?
Yeah, she was horrible. There were multiple shots of her in the challenge where she was like two or three paces behind everyone else. Like, it was just a mess. .com.
And she didn't act it like Kim Chi did when in Bitch Perfect, right? Where Kim Chi's like, I can't dance, but I'm going to make it a part of my character. At the very least, if you know you're going to screw up, become a ditzy character or something that makes it like convey that.
She's literally energy. Looking at everybody else to like see the next move. And I'm like, oh, this looks horrible. And I think her runway really saved her this week.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about her runway walk though? Like, I don't care how good that look looked. All she did was she like walked as if she was going down the aisle at a supermarket. Like,
picking out them groceries, girl.
I mean, put a little swagger in your step, girl. You looked so, just like, I'm wearing hair and I look like a dog.
True.
I'm going to go this way now.
I'm pulling up the image of Miss Anastasia's outfit, at least the front of it, during the lip sync, because like you can see the back, the cousin it part. Like,
yeah, like it all bleeds through. It's all so messy. Like there's no
shape.
Yeah, there's no shape.
Which is the point, but also they didn't go, you know, the comments of the judges are like, well, these two things don't go together, so like, why did you pick these two things,
right?
That decision really just like didn't make any kind of sense. I don't know. I was looking at who I thought I would have put in the top. I would have put probably like Lemon, who I loved. I do think I would have put Priyanka up there. Maybe I kind of liked Rita's, like maybe Rita's. And then I have a whole list of people I think should have been in the bottom. Jimbo, Tainomi, Boa, Alona, Anastasia. Like, not gonna lie, loving the season, but this, I think there were queens you could have justified putting in the bottom.
Yeah, this episode was strange. It was like the best maxi challenge with the worst runway. I was like, oh my God, like what the fuck are y'all doing? What's her face? Boa was like, what was on her neck? What was all of this? And then the Bobo thing was just like, no, like everything.
I'm also very confused. So for context, I watched all three episodes of Canada's Drag Race this past week, which is why I was like not adding much last week during our coverage. But I'm confused overall with the judges' obsession with Boa. And I appreciate that they're saying like she's herself and we can tell who she is and she's giving us energy and all that kind of stuff. But like these looks are a mess.
Well, oh, so what do you think about Boa?
I'm just, because there's, for me, when I watch Drag Race, it takes me like a couple episodes to know all their names right off the bat. So I'm just looking at which one Boa is.
Yeah, Boa, bitch on arrival. She's the one who did the like Borat outfit this week with the merkin and like kind of like the green swimsuit dealio and then the bodysuit.
Ginger kind of men's hair. And then
ginger men's hair.
I like to call it. She came out with like the fur coat and then revealed it to be like that bikini that had the merkin.
But and during the anchor challenge, what was she, remember what she looked like?
Was she with Nancy Grace? Was she with Jimbo?
No. Yes, she was with Jimbo. Yeah. She was the other queen. She was kind of doing this like whole sad thing.
And it was because Jimbo kept trampling over all of her lines though too.
So. Yes.
I know. Yeah.
I feel like she has character to her, and like maybe as the season develops we'll kind of get to know more of like her quirkiness, what her quirkiness is about.
Yeah.
So
I'm fine with her quirkiness and such. It's just
like, why do the judges love her so much?
Yeah. When there's clearly people who were stronger in the challenge than her. Like, I agree. I felt like Lemon should have been the top out of everyone on the runway. I liked her hair the most. It was cohesive with her outfit. It said something about her and her name. Like, great. And the lemons didn't fall. So there we go.
Oh my God. No. When Kiara walked out and I was like, oh, that's Kine's outfit. You just plucked the balls out. Like, oh no.
I was like, you had a lot of shit to say about those balls for you to wear the exact same thing. Yeah. I was like, I was rooting for you, girl. I loved you in the last episode. I know. And now.
No, I think how Amon feels about Anastasia's outfit is how I felt about Tainomi's outfit. Like, it was just so bad. Very J. Jolie realness, but worse somehow.
Oh my God. J. Jolie, thank you. I was like, who wore something similar like that? And I was thinking about the hair challenge in, what was it, season 9?
Mm-hmm.
About this. And now that you said, no, it was J. Jolie in season 5 that did that.
They did something similar in like America's Next Top Model did a photo shoot with nothing but hair. And I think they were mostly naked for that photo shoot. And they looked better than half the people on this. It was just crazy.
I think, yeah, maybe we're learning that there's only so much that you can do with hair when it comes to high fashion. But okay, we get our winner of the challenge, Priyanka, here, who, you know, I mean, she's just, I love her in general as a person. So I'm not like super mad at the win, even though I think I probably would have given it to Lemon. I was also just genuinely confused about the judging. So like, what am I going to do? But our bottom two are Anastasia and Tainomi. So Sosa, did you think that these two were the clear bottom two?
Yeah, based on the runways, I would say. I didn't think that Tainomi's was that bad in the rap battle, though.
Lipstick. Mm-hmm.
When she, like, took it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the rap battle.
The rap battle.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't that her outfit?
Yeah.
Why didn't she at least reveal it to that
outfit?
You know, every single judge was thinking that, too, because they caught to that, and they were like, oh, well, like, that's nice. Like,
right?
Because it was, exactly, it was basic. It was definitely a basic-ass look, but that basic-ass hair look was way better than some of the most avant-garde shit that we saw on that runway. So she would have been way better off wearing that shit. Way better off.
Oh, God.
Well, so we get a Deborah Cox song here, who, of course, is our wonderful guest host, which was so cool. And Tainomi, I think, had a little bit of the home field advantage. The fact that she's performed with her for so many years, she just knows her songs. She's into it. And so, Amon, here we have Tainomi end up winning and stays despite 2 weeks in the bottom.
Yeah, I was like, you better bring it, girl, because like, not only do you have to bring it because of the fact that you have toured with Deborah, but you also need to bring it so that if you do win, they can't like accuse you of like being favorited. You know what I mean? Like, you have to pull it out. And I honestly feel like she was just a bit stronger than Anastasia. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Anastasia is someone who at least I thought was going to go deep just because of her strong pageant background. So I was a little shocked to see her go, but I'm also not mad at the decision. You know, Tainomi is someone who's so famous, at least, you know, from what we're being told in the Toronto drag scene, that it's almost like the show kind of like wants to give her these chances to like show us what she can do. So
Next week, we are going to have the fashion line from recycled materials, which, again, super happy we're getting now something else, even though I guess it is kind of a design challenge. But it seems to be done in groups or pairs, which I think is a really interesting twist on that. So you have to watch all of these crazy fun characters interact with one another and create something high fashion. It seems like this episode is also going to bring a lot of drama, which I'm looking forward to.
I can't wait to see if Alona gets her chosen last fire partner again for the third time.
Yeah. Oh, actually. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Sosa.
Oh, no. I was just saying, I know. So sad.
Yeah. I feel like my heart goes out to her. At the same time, she's also on the bottom this week. So part of me is like, but but yeah, she seems, I actually really like her as a queen.
Me too.
So I, you know, don't really know what the deal is. But speaking of drama, the whole Boa Scarlet Bobo drama, Beth, like, wow, that felt, yeah, it felt like, oh, they're friends, but now I guess they're not friends now.
You know, I think that somebody hit it on the head, which was that I think that Scarlet's a little jealous of Boa's getting all this wonderful praise. And Scarlet's used to being the one that's in the spotlight. From what we can see from the edited version of the show, it doesn't seem like Boa's doing anything that Scarlet is saying that she is, but we are seeing what Scarlet is doing to Boa. So whether that is a favoritism edit, I don't know, or what it is. But obviously, they're going to put it in the episode if it means something, I think, in the next couple of episodes. So I can't wait to see what comes out of this, especially now that Alona and Scarlet seem to be like really hitting it off as like BFFs. Is Alona going to go against Boa? Let's see.
I don't know. Well, we will have to find out next week when we get our next episode, episode 4 of Canada's Drag Race. Is there anything else, Aman, that you would like to say about this episode or All Stars before we get out of here?
I think I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, Sosa, what about you? Any other closing thoughts, closing words?
I just wanted to ask you guys thoughts on what do you guys think about the runway walk for the judges? Because I find it kind of strange that like the main judges are all three of them are on the stage at one time, but then the celebrity host judge is the one doing the talking.
See what I
mean? Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, it's like the guest host.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, that's exactly how they're billing it though too, right? Is a guest host, not a guest judge.
Yeah,
I kind of like that. Put their feet up on the desk and let the guests do something. And you know what? They've been killing it. I've liked him every week, but I do agree. I think we're so used to what's happening on RuPaul's Drag Race that when you get to something like this, you're like, "Oh!" But I like the flavor it adds.
Yeah, I think I like it too. It's a little different. It's just taken, you know, a little bit to get used to. But to be honest, like, I don't really care that much about that anyway. Like, I'm here for the queens, and the queens have been so entertaining. But yeah, I think it's a definitely interesting twist that they put on it. I think part of it was, you know, I can imagine sitting in the writer's room being like, okay, so we're going to have three hosts. What do we do with our guests? Like, our guest judge? Like, what do we do with that? Who hosts? So they're like, aha, creative way to deal with that.
That's, I thought you said we have three hoes.
Three hoes. What I got right here. My three hoes. Liana and her three hoes. Oh, so it's fine.
That's our girl group.
That's our girl group. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. That was the other thing. The names of the groups. So the duels, of course. And then Sosa, we get the Moose Knuckles.
Crazy. I did not know that term, though.
Didn't really?
Oh, okay. I learned something new.
The more you know.
Yeah, the more you know. Well, learning every day.
Oh my gosh. It just made me laugh because our good friend, or my good friend, but I think we all know Dylan Zayner, or 8-Bit Dylan, when Dear, the drag queen, put him in drag, so, therefore becoming his drag mother, named him Moose Nicole.
Moose Nicole, I'm dead. To go with.
But it just made me think of that. So shout out to Miss Nicole.
That is pretty funny. All right. Well, let's close things up and get out of here. So again, thank you so much, Sosa, for coming on as a guest. It was really great to get all of your insights. What are you up to? Where can people find you on social media?
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun kikiing with you dolls. And you can find me at Twitter, YouTube, at Dolled by Sosa, chatting, mukbanging, and pop culture.
And Aman, what about you? Where can people find you on social medias?
You can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter and IG, although I don't really Instagram that much.
And Beth, what about you?
You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at AugustaWind11 and on Twitch. You can also find me on My Weekly Meltdown every Wednesday. We are going to be coming up and finishing up BB10 soon. I think this week we're giving BB10 a break and we're just going to do a fun show. So feel free to tune in and we'll have some fun.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I'm recording the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom talking about Survivor Philippines. We talked about episode 7 or 8. It's the Jeff Kent episode. You know what I'm talking about.
It's one of my favorite seasons. So I love that season.
Oh, my God. So fun. Such a fun season. We're doing the rewatch, chugging along with The Wiggle Room and Why Blank Lost to talk about everything from Survivor history. And I also want to take this moment to stop down and talk about a charity that's super important. So for those of you who may not know, Chi-Chi Devane was hospitalized for potential kidney failure. She was diagnosed with scleroderma, which is a disease that can impact numerous body systems. And so she thankfully is doing much better. She, as far as we know, is still in the hospital, but is responding to well to treatment. So first of all, I just want to plug her, her Venmo, her Cash App, her PayPal. And I will put this in the show notes as well. So you can at her. So it's for Venmo at Xavion Davenport. So Xavion-Davenport, Cash App at Xavion Davenport, or PayPal chichidevane@gmail.com. And then also I want to plug the Scleroderma Foundation, which is responsible for doing a lot of outreach and raising money for research that is helping to cure scleroderma, because like if we can reach out and help in any way we can, something that's affecting someone that's part of our community. So I wanted to bring light and attention to that.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes, I was like freaking out a little bit when I saw that she was not as well. I was like scared.
See, Alpha has been updating everybody on her Instagram story. So if you aren't following her, please go ahead and do so. And you can get a better sense of what she's going through. I know that I donated to already because she's just so impactful. So we really want to support her. Mm-hmm.
And of course, leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. If you are interested in supporting us and the content that we create, you can do that on Patreon. Go to patreon.com and check out Rob Has a Podcast, and you can help us do all of the wonderful things that we get to do. Huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for everything that he does. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.